for argument this morning is Schultz against Greene County. Ms. Penske.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Attorney Wistrom. My name is Ann Penske, and I represent the plaintiff appellant, Sheila Schultz. This case is an appeal from a summary judgment order entered in favor of the defendant, Greene County. The plaintiff asked this Court to reverse the summary judgment order. This is a wrongful termination action brought pursuant to 42 U.S.C. 1983. It alleges Greene County wrongfully terminated Ms. Schultz's employment without just cause and without notice or opportunity to be heard in violation of the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. This case centers around the reorganization defense, which is an affirmative defense created by case law that acts as an exception to the due process requirements when a government employer has discharged an employee as part of a legitimate governmental reorganization. The issue in this case is...
I must say I have some difficulty understanding this argument. Whether the ordinance was legitimate or not as a matter of Wisconsin law sounds like a question of, dare I say it, Wisconsin law. But in federal court, we don't use 1983 to decide questions of state law. The federal question, according to Roth against Board of Regents, is whether your client had a legitimate claim of entitlement to a particular salary. Right? So we could ask a question like, suppose there hadn't been any reorganization, but they passed an ordinance reducing her salary by $6 an hour. Would that violate her entitlement? Was there any claim of entitlement that would block such a statute?
Under this particular statute, it was a termination for cause statute only. It did not have a demotion provision.
What happened to your client was that her hourly wage went down. She was transferred in a bureaucratic shuffle. Bureaucratic shuffles happen all the time. If you think about what happened after 9/11, the entire immigration bureaucracy and a lot of the law enforcement bureaucracy moved to the new Department of Homeland Security. And at the new Department of Homeland Security, by the way, unions are forbidden. Many of these employees used to be unionized. They lost their seniority. They lost whatever protection a union gave them. But we don't think of that as a colossal violation of the Constitution, right? Because they didn't have any legitimate claim of entitlement to be under one department rather than another. So I'm asking, was there a legitimate claim of entitlement to one salary rather than another? Because that seems to be principally what happened to your client.
Well, as a threshold matter, she was removed. There's no dispute that the resolution did terminate her. In order to mitigate her damages, she reapplied for this position. She could not do so after a 5-day union posting. The county admitted that there was no guarantee that she would get this job. Had she not reapplied for this job, she would have been going against the law in the Seventh Circuit that says a discharged employee...
I wish you would address my question.
That did she have a legitimate claim to entitlement of her...
One salary rather than another.
Under certain circumstances, yes, because it was not just, well, first of all, it was not just her salary. She had a 40% reduction in overall salary, and at some point it becomes punitive, and at some point it's possible that it could be a constructive discharge. And so that's one of the answers to that question. And I don't think that the factual record is complete enough to be able to answer that question of whether or not it was a constructive discharge. Does that answer your question, Your Honor?
Not really. But why don't you proceed?
She had... there are a lot of issues of whether or not she had additional...
I could ask the question a different way. The purpose of a hearing under the Due Process Clause is to clear up any disputed issues of material fact. If a hearing had been held, what disputed issues of material fact would have been raised and cleared up?
Well, there is some evidence in the record that the county was not happy with her performance. She was written up for...
How would they have been material to the actual statute that was enacted? You see, the underlying my first question was the concern that this appears to be not a request for a hearing. It appears to be a substantive objection to the municipal, to the county's decision. But the purpose of hearings is to pin down person-specific facts. If you wish to make a substantive objection to the decision at all, that's called substantive due process. And the Supreme Court has said that there is that concept is limited to fundamental rights. There isn't any fundamental right to earn $26 an hour rather than $20. Indeed, which job you hold isn't a fundamental right. Right? The kind of cases that you're relying on are all cases about entitlement to hearings. But you have hearings to resolve disputed issues of material fact, and there don't appear to be any. That's why this looks like a substantive objection.
Well, under the due process cases, I think it's pretty clear that she falls under these. She had a right to not be discharged from her position without a hearing, and it was undisputed that she was discharged from her position without a hearing.
No, it's just not right, counsel. There is never a right to a hearing. Just think about federal litigation. If there are no disputed issues of material fact, there won't be a hearing. Hearings are used to resolve disputed issues of material fact. And if you can't identify any, then what this is about is not a hearing. It's about an objection to the substance of the decision.
Well, there is evidence in the case that the county was wanting to get rid of her. Specifically, they did say that they needed supervision over her. They said they were upset with her salary, that they thought she was making too much money, and might have been.
Is there any problem with that? With the county thinking it gets back to Judge Easterbrook's question. Was she entitled to that salary?
Well, that is not in the record at this point, but one of their main problems with her was that she had too much mileage, for example. So if the county...
If she was paid the same as she was in her previous position, she wouldn't have a complaint here, right? She wouldn't be complaining, would she?
Well, she would have much less to complain about. I think what happened was that the ordinance did actually terminate her, and to mitigate her damages, she reapplied for that position, and she was lucky enough to get it. But it was not a transfer of positions. The reorganization cases say that they circumvent the due process requirement because usually it's a reduction in force situation where a lot of employees are affected. Here it's more suspect because there is one particular employee affected. It was the only person who was providing.
But those other cases, usually a different employee is hired. Here we have the same employee going from one job to the other.
And there's no evidence in the record that anybody else applied for that job. And at that point, the county would have had no choice but to hire her because they're statutorily required to provide those services.
Is there any evidence in the record that they would have had no choice?
I think that there is no evidence. The county has given no evidence that
they were forced to hire her,
but they there's nothing in the record that indicates that they were not forced to hire her, because under the statute, they must provide these particular juvenile intake services, and there's no indication that anybody else had applied for that position.
You're under your rebuttal time.
Thank you. I would like to save the last 30 seconds for rebuttal.
Mr. Wistrom.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'm Oyvind Wistrom. I represent the defendant, Greene County, with respect to this matter. There are essentially two different and distinct issues that this Court is being asked to address here today. The first of which is whether or not Greene County underwent a legitimate reorganization when the County Board made the decision to transfer the juvenile intake function from...
My question, what significance is that to any question of federal law? I don't even know what it means, legitimate reorganization. Does that mean authorized by state law? Does it mean reorganization for a good reason? Federal courts don't ask whether states had good reasons for their statutes beyond whatever limits are imposed by the rational basis test. And I certainly didn't see any argument that this statute would flunk rational basis analysis.
We certainly don't believe that it does. There's case law that establishes that an organization, a reorganization that's purely a sham, that's intended to get rid of a troublesome or bad-performing employee in order to hire somebody new, where the job is essentially recreated, the exact same job is recreated in the exact same position or department, courts have found that that, in fact, is a sham, and it's not really
a
reorganization.
What bearing does that have on the federal issue? The federal issue, according to Roth against the Board of Regents, is whether the plaintiff has a legitimate claim of entitlement that is fact-specific, right? The purpose of hearings is to determine potentially contestable issues of fact. If the answer is yes, then there's a federal problem. If the answer is no, there isn't. If you look at the Supreme Court's due process cases, there's nothing about whether reorganizations are legitimate or about whether some state law should have been passed. Federal law, at least according to the Supreme Court, takes state law as given. That's the whole point of Roth. Now, it doesn't seem to me we're at liberty to make up our own test and tell the Supreme Court they got it wrong in articulating the test that they've actually articulated.
And we don't believe there was any limitation or deprivation of any fundamental rights here.
No, look, for claims of due process, I gag when I say procedural due process because that's redundant. Claims of due process, there is no need for a fundamental right. All you need is a property interest. That's what Roth is about. A contract is a property interest. For claims of substantive due process, which has been, let's just say, an overlaid on the real due process clause, you need a fundamental right. But that's not a claim of entitlement to a hearing. It's a substantive objection. Our plaintiff seems to be requesting a hearing, but on substantive grounds. One might think of this as mixed media, right? But it doesn't, the hearing claim is governed by Roth. It doesn't require a fundamental right.
No, I agree with Your Honor. The court had mentioned and discussed the substantive rights. We agree that the allegations being maintained in this complaint are procedural due process in violation of the 14th Amendment. It's based on a property interest, and we don't dispute that Sheila Schultz had a property interest in her employment. She had a property interest in a position as a juvenile intake worker. She did not have a property interest in a position that was part of the court-attached juvenile intake department, nor did she have a property interest in the title of being the chief juvenile intake worker for the county, nor did she have a property interest in her salary being $26 an hour as compared to $19 an hour.
I asked Ms. Bensky what factual issue would have been considered at a hearing, and she didn't articulate any. Do you understand that there is one? I mean, if you think back to Roth, Roth is a professor who claimed to have had tenure under a contract with his university. And the Supreme Court said, you know, if they close the department, there would be no entitlement to a hearing. Right? Even though the person loses his job, there'd be no entitlement to a hearing if the university closes its chemistry department. What factual issue was proposed to be resolved at a hearing here? Ms. Bensky couldn't identify it. Maybe you can.
I don't believe there were any, Your Honor. The issues that led to the decision to reallocate or relocate her department had nothing to do with her performance. Ms. Bensky indicated that there was concerns about the supervision and some concerns about her performance. I don't think that's part of the record in this case. There was a comment made in a deposition that by transferring the job to Human Services, there would be better supervision in that there are many other people that could assist her in performing the duties, plus there would be somebody who would supervise her, a supervisor that's responsible for her on a permanent basis, rather than a circuit court judge that was by statute required to supervise her performance. But there is no indication that the county wanted to get rid of Sheila Schultz or that she was a poor performing employee or that this was a pretext to get rid of her. I think the contrary is true. After the position was eliminated, the county, in fact, encouraged her to apply for the position. The Corporation Council within the county contacted her and encouraged her to apply for the position. She was, in fact, the only person that was interviewed for the position. Her old position expired on December 31st of 2008, and she started in the new position effective January 1 of 2009. Under these circumstances, we don't believe there was any property deprivation that she suffered. But certainly there was no need for a hearing because the reason why the reorganization was taking place was fiscal in nature. It was based on a belief that the services could be better provided as being part of Human Services rather than being part of the circuit court. A hearing would serve no useful purpose. Hearings have been generally required in due process claims where there is an issue as to the performance of the individual. And the hearing is there given as an opportunity for that individual to address those performance-related concerns. None of those issues exist in this case.
Well, the county did have cost-cutting concerns, and they saw that salary she was making, and they wanted to cut her salary. And that's pretty clear to me from the record that I've seen. And you're saying that's okay to do.
But that is okay to do. Okay. Now, ultimately, in the case law with this reorganization exception to due process claims, many of the courts in Wisconsin law has established that when a reorganization is implemented by a legislative body, the courts are not in a position to question the motives of the legislative body. The issue for the court is whether or not the reorganization actually occurred. And here the evidence clearly establishes that one position in the circuit court was eliminated along with a part-time position that helped in the performance of juvenile intake. A new position in a different department was created. Those positions were supervised differently. They had different supervisory responsibilities, a different salary, different amount of overtime. One position was union, one position was not union. Clearly the circumstances and the facts of this reorganization demonstrate that it actually did occur. And under these circumstances, the law recognizes that she was not entitled to any kind of a due process hearing. Thank you, Your Honors.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Counsel. Anything further, Ms. Bensky?
Thank you. The whole point of the reorganization exception and trying to figure out whether or not a reorganization is legitimate is for the purpose of trying to figure out if a county actually reorganized, because if they didn't actually reorganize, if they picked up a position, moved it down the street, and terminated an employee, then that's evidence that the reorganization was a sham, and that would trigger those due process requirements that the employee cannot be terminated without a proper hearing.
Say we sent this back for a hearing. What would your client be seeking at that hearing?
For the pre-termination hearing, she would like to address some of the issues that have been brought up, specifically the person who was hired to take over a very small portion of her job testified that she had very serious ethical concerns about Ms. Schultz's conduct. She shared those concerns with county officials, and because the county held a closed meeting, we don't know if she shared any of those with the county. Part of the reorganization exception is that the courts are not allowed to look at the motivations of the individual board members, and so the focus of this case was around whether or not the actual reorganization did in fact occur, and we submit that it did not. Thank you.
Thank you very much, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.